You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Somehow made it to a Friday. We got wings on the Traeger. It's going to be a good day. Glad you're part of the program. If you're listening, you're watching, email, tweeting, all of the above. Say good morning to our TV partner, Peacock, and you great radio listeners around the country, numbering 362 cities in America. Got a poll question, play of the day, a couple of stats of the day that have to do with Patrick Mahomes, and a stat of the day that has to do with James Harden. But football last night, a lot of fun. As strange as this NFL season already is, it was business as usual for the Chiefs last night. Picked up where they left off, made it look easy. It was 34-20, beating the Texans. And there are a couple of differences. The biggest difference is Clyde Edwards-Helaire out of LSU, and also the fact that Andy Reid was wearing a fogged-over face shield. And I'm not sure what Andy saw or didn't see last night, but it was all good for Kansas City and bad for Houston because they couldn't get their defense off the field. I don't want to hear, boy, Texans certainly missed DeAndre Hopkins. You could have paid him if you wanted to, so make up your mind. Oh, you got to spread the ball now. You get to spread the ball to the other wide receivers. I was listening to the NBC pregame show, and I'm going, are you kidding me? Chris Sims and Rodney Harrison are actually trying to say this? Hey, you know, Deshaun Watson, he gets to open up the offense and spread it around. Boy, I'd love to have a receiver that I can go to who I know is always going to be open. And then Tony Dungy finally came in and said, look, I would have traded me before I would have traded Marvin Harrison. Now, I know you can go back through history and say, how many times has an all-pro wide receiver been on a team that won the Super Bowl? It's not very often. You know, Jerry Rice was one. Gary Clark played for Washington. Lynn Swan, John Stallworth, I think, with the Steelers. It doesn't happen very often. But let's make up our mind. Do we need an all-pro go-to wide receiver or not? Well, Brady didn't need that. And when he had Randy Moss, they didn't win the Super Bowl. I know. I understand all of that. But all of a sudden, DeAndre Hopkins had nothing to do with the defense not getting off the field. The defense looks really suspect, and so does J.J. Watt. He looked average last night. Now, I know we didn't have any preseason. It's one game. You're playing against Kansas City Chiefs. But Kansas City was great. Now, that offense, they do what they want to do when they want to do it. Yes, Eden.
What did you just say?
I said that J.J. was average last night.
Were you watching the same game?
I was. Maybe not the same game Chris Collinsworth was watching, but I thought J.J. looked average last night.
Looked? Like looks?
Well, no.
Because he looked good. His hair looked great.
He played.
Do you see his triceps in the pregame?
He played average.
Oh, played. Okay. You know,
Paulie takes pictures. He does these screen grabs, and then he'll send us these pictures of J.J. Watt in warm-ups. And I go, stop. Let me see how he looks in the game. By the way, this program brought to you by LegalZoom, LegalZoom.com. Take care of the things you need to get done without having to leave your home. That's LegalZoom.com. But it was a statement win for the Chiefs. I know we were talking about, revenge match for the Texans against the Chiefs. No. A revenge match would be in January when it truly matters, not in September. Yes, McLovin.
When they were up 7-0, I was like, yes, the revenge match has started. I was right. And then they didn't score again for about 40 minutes.
And then David Johnson, who came over to the Texans from Arizona, is like, yeah, that's why they traded DeAndre Hopkins. DeAndre Hopkins doesn't play defense. So if DeAndre Hopkins was on the field last night, the final score probably still would have been 34-20. But that road back to the Super Bowl certainly looks like it would go through Kansas City with the offense there. And the defense is really what I'm keeping an eye on, because there will be times when Kansas City will not be putting up those points, and they're going to have to rely on their defense. It may be one or two games. It may be in the playoffs. It may be in a quarter or a half. The defense is going to have to play great. But last night, you saw Patrick Mahomes sort of ho-hum. And, you know, the other thing is they were running the football. This is something that we have not seen from a team with Patrick Mahomes, because Kansas City's offense looked different last night. They had 34 rushing attempts. That's the most in any game started by Mahomes. And Mahomes had no completions of 20 or more yards for just the second time in his career, but he did throw for three touchdowns.
Stat of the day, stat of the day, dap, dap. Stat of the day, stat of the day. Here comes that what? Stat of the day.
But I thought the star was the, you know, the rookie out of LSU. And go back to the draft. When we came in following that weekend, and people wondered, well, Kansas City already has a running back who performed well in the Super Bowl. And you're going to take Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And we said, this is a luxury item. This is when somebody falls into your lap and you go, we got to take him. Like, this isn't like the Packers. They traded up to get Jordan Love. Kansas City said, we probably don't need him, but let's take him. And then when Kansas City's running back, when Williams opted out, then all of a sudden they, you know, didn't miss anything. In fact, they gained something because Edwards-Helaire is a better running back all around. And you saw that, and he's cheap. First round pick, you got him. You got him locked up for a few years here. And Kansas City needs a couple of bargains considering they've been paying everybody else. But you know, they're a good team, a good offense, and I think that it'll be interesting to see how teams are going to try to match up with them because they can run the football, and they showed that last night, although I wasn't too impressed with what I saw with the Texans defense. Sean Salisbury, who does a sports show in Houston on Sports Talk 790, former NFL quarterback, will join us coming up. Chris Fowler from the Mothership will stop by, and final hour today, we pay a visit to Vin Scully. Get some thoughts on Vin. Vin, we spoke to him yesterday. He has cleared out all his memorabilia and going to put that up for auction. So we'll take a trip down memory lane with Vin Scully. Final hour of the show. So Chiefs over the Texans, 34-20. Lakers go up 3-1 on the Rockets. The Nuggets, Clips, Celtics, Raptors. That's tonight. And you got football coming up this weekend. North Carolina. You got Oklahoma, Clemson, Texas, Central Florida among the teams that are in action. As far as the Lakers, you can watch a game and go, this wasn't the series clinching win, but it felt like that last night. I mean, it was up, the Lakers go up 3-1. I would have thought that this was 4-1. James Harden didn't have a field goal attempt in the fourth quarter. He didn't make one. He didn't take one. 2 of 11 from the floor. Here's a stat that I found out this morning from The Ringer. In the last 5 years, in the postseason, in the fourth quarter and overtime, James Harden is shooting less than 25% from three-point range. It's a pattern. They have an offense, a style that is not sustainable during the postseason. Yet, they went out and got Russell Westbrook and kicked Chris Paul to the curb and bought into that style even more so than they had the previous year. Maybe they salvage another win out of this, but what I saw last night, I didn't think the Lakers, I thought it was a good team effort. And Rajon Rondo's a really big key. He's a really big key for that team. And Anthony Davis has played extremely well. LeBron sort of had to go through the motions. You know, hey, 16 points, 15 rebounds, 9 assists. Like, okay. But watching the Rockets last night, it was not a good night for Houston last night. Let's put it that way. Because both teams didn't, Texans and Rockets weren't good on offense. But James Harden, trying to figure that out. And it may be too late to figure that out. You know, we had this break. We had a 4-month break. That's where James Harden should have been reinvigorated. Remember, we saw these off-season reports, during the pandemic when everything was shut down? Oh, he's in the best shape of his life. And I went, okay, all right. And then all of a sudden I'm watching him and I'll give a little bit of credit to the Lakers with their defensive philosophy. I think Frank Vogel has quietly done a brilliant job with the Lakers this year. And quiet is the key word there. There's no drama, and he's done a great job. And defensively, with what they were drawing up with James Harden, and he just doesn't look like he's enthusiastic. I'm not saying he's quitting. It just doesn't look energized, enthused, something about it. And this is going to be quick and painless out the door. If they don't put up a fight here, the final game. Yes, Tom.
And LeBron made sure to make a point that it's only the ninth playoff game together for this young group. And so they were only getting better. He feels like, you know, they've got another level to take it to beyond what they showed yesterday.
But LeBron did have a criticism of the Lakers. He had this to say following the win last night.
Obviously, we got to be better. We got to close out games the right way. You know, we get a big lead. We got to be able to, you know, continue to defend and continue to put the pressure on their defense and not allow them to get back into the game like we did. We started to give up, you know, some threes. We started to give up, you know, some fouls in the backcourt when we were in the penalty and allowing them to score without the time running. So we'll be better. We'll watch film. We'll be better.
Yeah, you know, they're starting to bring it together a little bit here. And you're starting to get contributions from other players. And you're going to need a balanced attack. I mean, you're going to need LeBron and Anthony Davis to be great. We know that. If Rondo can be playoff Rondo, and now all of a sudden I just ask one of those other role players to step up and do more than you normally do, then the Lakers are going to be the team to beat. But trying to get that, make it all work, the Clippers are still trying to figure out, you know, being consistent. See, we get so spoiled. When I look at James Harden, and you know what I think of him offensively, I think he's one of the, you know, most unstoppable players I've ever seen. But he does stop himself. It's rare that a defender stops him. I think James Harden stops himself. We get spoiled with watching Kawhi and LeBron because they're so good at what they do. And on a big stage, big moment, they play big. They get larger. James Harden seems to get smaller, and that's where you look at Kawhi and how brilliant he is, and he makes it look effortless. And so does LeBron. But these are two intelligent basketball players, and so is Rondo. Like, Rondo's IQ is right there with LeBron. And to have that on the floor where you're figuring things out, and James Harden hasn't figured, I don't know if he's figured himself out when it comes to the postseason. And you can be great in December. You can be great in January, but James Harden has to be great during the postseason. And I just, you know, every year I go, they can't win 4 out of 7 games because they can't be consistent enough. And I don't know what kind of changes you make. Feels like they're all in on small ball. Does Mike D'Antoni want to continue coaching this team? And while it's great during the regular season, postseason, there's a lot of question marks here. Yeah, McLovin.
Is it more mental or physical? Because he looks out of shape. You know, obviously LeBron spends $1 million on his body a year. Yeah. James Harden spends $1 million elsewhere. Don't make me say where.
Whoa.
Wow.
That was widely reported that he spent $1 million in one night this summer. I mean, everybody talked about that. You know, I'm saying James Harden does not spend $1 million.
Wait. Harden spent $1 million?
In one night in a strip club, yeah. He had his jersey retired.
Allegedly,
according to 45 reports.
Wait, he had his jersey retired in the strip club?
Yeah.
Do they hang it in the... How do they retire your jersey in the strip club?
I don't know.
In the rafters?
And he's always... And also, he makes a lot of jokes about that. He's like kind of like laid back about that. It's not like something that he's like hiding. But he's not in shape. He looks exhausted out there. And he always fades shooting-wise in the playoffs.
Well, just that stat alone, the last 5 years, you're shooting 25%, less than 25% from three-point range, fourth quarter, and overtime in playoff games. Yeah, Paul.
That club has a ring of honor. It's James Harden, Tiffany. Go on from there. Some of the legends.
Cinnamon.
Yeah.
It was actually just the wings. He spent $1 million on the wings in that place. It wasn't what you're thinking. It was just, they have really good food. And
Cardi B.
They just go there for the food.
Of course they do. All right, what's poll question today, McLovin?
Okay, well, I'm going to ask you. After watching the Chiefs last night, do you want to mulligan on your Super Bowl pick?
No.
Did it cross your mind? Did you pick the Ravens?
It's easy to pick the Chiefs. I picked the Ravens. It's easy to pick the Chiefs. They can be great during the regular season. All it takes is one game in the postseason, and that's what I'm banking on, that the Ravens, when they face the Chiefs, that one game will be better than the Chiefs. Chiefs will probably be better during the regular season. But I could see where the Ravens could have 14 wins. Chiefs could have 14 wins this year. It can happen because how great they are, and looking at their schedules, I don't think it will happen, but... You know, there's a chance for a real special season from both of those teams. But no, I do watch, and, you know, last year when I picked Kansas City to win it all, I'm watching those games in the postseason. They're trailing by double digits. They're trailing by 10 in the Super Bowl with 7 minutes to go. They're down 24-0 to the Texans. That's when I was getting nervous about my Super Bowl pick. Not now. Yeah, McLovin.
Okay, what was the biggest takeaway from last night? Andy Reid's face mask that took over social media. CeeLo, as Paulie is calling him, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Having some fans in the stands. Bill O'Brien screwing up everything. Punting from the 50. Wow. Running all over the place for no reason every time he got the ball. Or I was going to say Frank Clark running past Titus Howard that one time. That was terrifying. But Deshaun Watson, they got to protect him a little bit. I mean, you've been saying that for a while.
I just hope he doesn't end up like Andrew Luck. I've said that from day one when he became a starter. He's a great talent, but if you don't have a great offensive line there, as the Colts found out, like running should be a choice for a quarterback. Not I'm trying to avoid extinction here. And when I watch Deshaun, he takes way too many hits. Now, some of that is get rid of the ball. These guys are all about their stats, completion percentage, and, hey, I don't want to throw it away, throw an ill-advised pass. Running should be a choice for a quarterback. And for Deshaun Watson, it's not. My takeaway is probably Clyde Edwards-Helaire, because we knew he was special. In fact, who were we talking to? Joe Burrow. And I said, who was the best player on the team? And he had no hesitation. He said, Clyde is a freak. And if you go back to those playoff games, national title game, he was best player on the field, I thought. I mean, Joe's had a wonderful season. There's very few guys like Clyde Edwards-Helaire in college football. And by all accounts, if you can't just gear up to stop him, you got Patrick Mahomes doing what he wants to do, and then you have that great luxury where you just say, I can use you out of the backfield, and you run the ball, man, that's pretty impressive. That's pretty potent. When the best offense in football got even better in the offseason, that's pretty scary. Yeah, Paul.
They were showing replays of CeeLo at halftime, and I think it was Collins were saying, first the defender has to find him and then find a way to tackle him. He's like, Leonard Fournette, you don't have to find. Bigger running backs, you don't have to find. Derrick Henry, you still have to tackle him, but you don't have to find the guy.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk to Sean Salisbury about what he saw last night with the Texans against Kansas City Chiefs. We'll also hear from Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. I felt bad for him because he was fogging up his mask there, and he looked like he was out of some kind of moon landing unit or something. And you could just tell, if I could have heard him, you probably heard, and then it would just fog up. So I think he would call a play, and then he probably didn't even know what happened on the play. Be like, X right, banana Y, two, okay. Yes, Tom.
And there was some dried up mac and cheese on the corner if you looked really close.
That's not true.
I'm not one to talk. That's a cheap shot.
Yeah, that is. And of all people,
exactly.
You
Who
with a cheap shot.
I could lose a few.
20 after the hour, we'll take a break. Your phone calls are welcome. We'll settle on a poll question. We'll hear from Patrick Mahomes. We'll also talk to Chris Fowler and the great Vin Scully in the final hour of this Traeger Meet Friday. 20 after the hour, this is the Dan Patrick Show. When it comes to scoring great hires for your business, you may be up against some obstacles like a lot of applicants, but difficulty finding the right ones for your job, or just trying to run your business while you're trying to hire people or ensure workplace safety. That's where ZipRecruiter comes in. You want them on your team because no matter the industry, healthcare to manufacturing to business services, ZipRecruiter makes hiring faster and easier. Now, try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Patrick. When you post a job on ZipRecruiter, it gets sent out to over 100 top job sites. Then ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology will hustle for you, find the right people, right experience, and invite them to apply. Here's my favorite stat of the day. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So add ZipRecruiter to your roster to help win the hiring game. And you can try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Patrick. ZipRecruiter.com/Patrick. And remember, ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. We settled on a poll question, McLovin?
Nope. I have another one to pitch for you.
Oh, okay.
Real quick.
All right.
Who are we going to talk about first on Monday morning? Cam Newton or Tom Brady? What's the bigger story? He's either in playing well or playing poorly.
I guess it depends on how well one of them plays or how poorly one of them plays. Who's more likely to not play well?
Bucs, Saints, and Dolphins, Patriots.
Yeah. Well, Brady probably is not having Mike Evans.
Game time decision, it said.
Okay. I'm going to say we're talking about Brady. But it feels like even if he plays, if he plays well, we're talking about him. If he plays poorly, then we're talking about him. Cam, if Cam plays well, yeah, I'd say Brady. But I think it's a good question there.
Brady's actually the later game, 4:25 Eastern, and Cam's the earlier game. So
Brady will know how great he has to be based off what Cam did then. Right? Is that what you're saying?
I was just thinking like that 4:25 window we'll all be watching. But yeah, that makes sense.
Here's Patrick Mahomes on the performance of Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
I thought the offensive line did a great job of giving him holes to run through, and he hit it every single time. And so he's going to keep getting better. It's another weapon that I kind of have in this offense, and we're going to keep doing whatever we can to keep moving the ball and scoring touchdowns.
All right, Todd, before I bring in Sean Salisbury.
The Rainbow Connection. He shows a good start. Got a lot to do. Only one game.
Let's bring in Sean Salisbury, morning host of the Sean Salisbury Show on Sports Talk 790, Houston, former NFL quarterback. Yeah, that probably precludes us from getting Patrick Mahomes on this season when Fritzy does his impersonation. What did you think of his impersonation, by the way, of Patrick Mahomes?
I thought it sucked, and that's the only thing. But I love, hey, it's a heck of an effort by Fritzy. How you guys doing, Dan?
Oh, we're doing great. Hey, how about them Texans?
Think about the yesterday in Houston sports. The Astros couldn't hold. The Astros couldn't hold a one-run lead ever this season. Miserable on the road. Every single game the Rockets play in, we're asking this question: hey, are you guys going to give effort? And why so flat? Oh, it's only the playoffs, but let's not worry about that. And then the Texans, who right now, Dan, are the three, they're your best chance to win the Super Bowl. I mean, a championship, and they ran into a team that looked like, well, we'll play about 75%. We won't break a sweat. Patrick Mahomes' jersey will still be clean for next week, and they win. So not a good day for Houston sports. I think the Texans are going to be fine. I'm not panicked about them, but if their defense doesn't get better, Dan, they not only got to pace Lamar, they got to go Ben Roethlisberger and Kirk Cousins, all four of those guys in the first month. They could actually be a pretty decent team and be 1-3 or 0-4, but the Chiefs are at a different level than everybody else, and now adding Helaire, it's frightening.
And I was looking at the Texans last night. As much as we want to go, boy, they missed DeAndre Hopkins, and I said, he's not playing defense.
Like right. The
defense was on the field for 9 minutes in one of those drives. You're not winning games like that.
Yeah, what was it, Dan? 17 plays. If you can't get off the field, it won't matter. There's enough burden on Deshaun Watson anyway, Dan. You know, the great quarterbacks in the league bear that burden, and they know it. But Deshaun could score 31 points, and if you run into Breeze, Brady, Mahomes, Russ Wilson, you give up 38, it's not going to matter. So think about that burden he has to carry. Hell, look at Mahomes last night. What did he throw for? A little over 200 yards. He had a run game. Defense played well. He didn't have to be special, and they still yawned their way to 38 points. Watson's going to hang 30 a week because the back end's not very good. And, Dan, I don't know where they're going to generate pressure on the quarterback. You know, some teams can do it with 4 and 5. But then if you all of a sudden say, well, we got to start rushing 5 and 6 and you don't get to the quarterback, even I, with Andy Reid's face mask on and can't see, might have been able to complete a few balls. Now you get the great quarterbacks at the elite level. It's going to be a rough one, but this is a good team. No reason to panic, but it is a rough schedule to start, and Deshaun Watson will give them a chance every game, but that defense will not get them out of January.
And I know that, you know, we go back and forth where people say, you don't need to have that marquee wide receiver, an all-pro wide receiver, you know, Marvin Harrison with the Colts to win a title. Isaac Bruce with the Rams in 1999. Jerry Rice, Gary Clark with the Redskins. Those are the all-pro wide receivers on a team that won the Super Bowl. It just doesn't happen. But then, do you want to pay these wide receivers? Like, DeAndre Hopkins cost a lot of money. But is he worth... Like, I don't know where the value of wide receivers. I know how we feel about running backs, but where are we with wide receivers? Do you need a great wide receiver, an all pro, or do you just need, you know, five guys that go out there and play?
If I can have a great wide receiver and then have John Taylor, Tom Rathman, Roger Craig, Joe Montana, I'm pretty good, right, Dan?
Yeah.
I can take any good defensive coordinator usually. Their thought process is, and Belichick's thought this, you know, has been like this whole time. You give me one, I can take your best player, not named a quarterback, out of the game. I should be able to, right? So I subscribe to the fact that if you give me three good ones or one great one, I'm taking the three good ones. So you look at the Texans, I'll use them for example. They've got a guys with Fuller and Cooks and Cobb that are pretty good. Yes, we all want that crutch to lean on, but Dan, I would... Listen, I don't blame any – you're worth what you can negotiate. I don't blame anybody for going and getting their money. I would not pay a receiver $22 million because I'm going to tell you now, who's closer to the Super Bowl, the Texans without Hopkins or the Cardinals with him? Today. I'm talking about today. Who's closer?
Texans are, but neither's getting to the Super Bowl.
Amen. And that was the second half of it. Put it this way, are the Arizona Cardinals four games better? I think Hopkins is the best receiver in the league. Are they four games or three games better because of Hopkins? No, because if their defense doesn't play better, guess what's going to happen? The Seahawks and the 49ers are going to roll right through them. They'll stay in games. Why? Because they've got Kyler Murray and you've got DeAndre Hopkins and here in Houston. So, Dan, I think that, you know, how many Super Bowls has Julio Jones in Atlanta won with a great player?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you make the point. So I think that we're almost to the point where we're going to devalue that price, even though the price keeps going up. We're not putting a premium on saying, well, a great receiver is winning me a Super Bowl. You better have a rush end, you better have a tackle, and you better have a quarterback. If you don't have those three, you're probably not playing in February.
How did the Chiefs not win the Super Bowl, or at least go to the Super Bowl this year?
For me, would be major injuries or something to Mahomes, which is the obvious. I think that's the case with all the teams that are at the top of the level, top of the heap. And, you know, somebody like Lamar Jackson or Brady or Breeze in the NFC playing them. I would think that the way they're not going to get there, significant amount of injuries. They're a team that can score 40. They can hang 40 on your regular basis. Running into a team that has less injuries and has a quarterback that's on par, maybe not Patrick Mahomes, but can carry their team for a month. But to me, they would have to play awfully bad football. I think at 90%, they're probably better than every team in football right now. And now you add Edwards-Helaire and a better defense, and they're hungry. I think they think that winning number two is more important than winning number one, and that's a good thing. It's very difficult to do. But I think they're going to have to beat themselves, and Andy Reid's teams don't do that very often in Kansas City. They're the heavy favorite, in my opinion.
He's Sean Salisbury. He is the former NFL quarterback and host of the Sean Salisbury Show on Sports Talk Radio 790 in Houston. I picked the Ravens against the Cowboys in the Super Bowl.
Can I ask why the Cowboys?
I don't know. I just kept saying they're getting close. Like that talent has to work out at some point.
Right.
I just keep thinking you've accumulated this much talent, and I was just wondering about their division. I'm not sold on the Niners coming back. Seattle's not going to go away. I don't know what to expect in some of these other divisions. I don't know what the Packers are like. You know, the Vikings got a ton of talent. Like, who is that formidable team? You know, do I trust the Saints with Drew Brees, as strange as that may sound? Brady going to a super team of sorts. Can they, you know, get it right? I just said, you know, I'm looking at that Dallas team, and I thought, if I don't jump in now, I'm never going to jump in with the Cowboys, because I thought about it last year. I thought they had as much talent offensively as anybody, and they outscore the opposition by over 100 points, and they end up 8-8. I don't know.
And they bring CeeDee Lamb into the – Dan, I think they have a Super Bowl roster, and I've told you on this show in the past about how I've always thought Dak Prescott's undervalued, and because he's always available. He plays. He put up the big numbers last year. Now he's got to put up some stuff in January. I don't blame you. I think they're going to win the division. I just don't know defensively. I got to see them step their game up. And they're active. The key is, can you knock Brady around? Can you prevent all those weapons if healthy in Tampa and New Orleans? And you mentioned the 49ers and the Seahawks aren't going away. And what do all those guys have in common? A quarterback just as good as the one in Dallas. I understand why you're going there. It's such a deep NFC. And the AFC, my only well-coached, the Baltimore Ravens are nasty. They got better defensively. They're bullies on defense. Can Lamar Jackson repeat what he did last year? And will you defend him the same? Or does it matter? Is he just so good with his feet and arm now that he's the ultimate weapon in the league because his feet are so good? I wonder how defenses are going to play him, and the Texans get a taste of him next week. Both good choices. I actually chose Tampa beating Tampa, that Brady's great in January, against the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl, Dan. And I chose Tampa, and maybe I'm buying into the hype. I think Tampa's going to give the Saints all they can handle in the division.
All right, let me go around the NFL here real quick.
Okay.
Patriots make the playoffs?
I don't think so. If Cam Newton plays like he did his MVP year, maybe. But they're so depleted on the roster. If they do, Bill Belichick should be the coach of the year no matter what happens. I got Buffalo winning the division, more offensive weapons.
Does Jordan Love start a game this year that has nothing to do with an injury to Aaron Rodgers?
If they're 13-2 and it's the last game of the season and home field advantage is sewn up, other than that, until Aaron Rodgers leaves, Jordan Love will not start a game. This may be a long shelf if they keep Aaron Rodgers. If he's healthy, Jordan Love's going to stand over there and do what I did most of my career, hold a clipboard.
Who has a better chance of making the playoffs, Rams, Chargers?
That NFC West, probably the deepest division. I'm going to still say the Rams, though, even though it's a deep division, and Arizona's going to disrupt the playoff picture. I just think injuries and the Chargers continue. Something's going to happen that's going to, and maybe I'm just growing up in San Diego and now them being L.A., and without Phillip Rivers, although Tyrod Taylor protects the ball, I don't think they take enough chances. I think they're going to come up shy. Only one team from the AFC West makes the playoffs.
Who are we talking about first on Monday, Brady or Cam Newton?
Tom Brady, and it won't matter, even if Cam throws for 500, because it's going to be Brady, oh my gosh, look at the weapons. They are a legitimate February team. Or, oh my gosh, the naysayers are going to say he threw for $187 and they lost. Tom Brady doesn't have it anymore. I wish I had Jameis Winston. You'll hear somebody ignorant enough to say that. It'll be Brady, and Brady will have a good game against the Saints. Don't be surprised if they beat him and we start talking, oh my gosh, at 43 this year, he's an MVP candidate.
Are the Jags tanking?
Yeah, and you can't blame them, Dan. I'm not a big tanking guy in any sport, but if the rules allow it, why wouldn't you? As much as I like Gardner Minshew, you want Trevor Lawrence or Gardner Minshew? It doesn't matter what Minshew does. If they lose, Lawrence will be the pick. And we've seen teams do this before in the past. The Dolphins tried to, Dan. Brian Flores is too good, and they played good football. Yeah, they're doing it because, well, this team is they're giving everybody away, and what Trevor Lawrence does is give them hope. They're tanking, and I don't blame them, although I'm not a big tank guy. I don't see how they're going to win four football games this year.
Yeah, and I know people get caught up in this, and actually players get caught up, and they get angry, and they say, we're not quitting. And it's not the players who are tanking. It's the management that tanked. And that's what happened with the Marlins when Derek Jeter comes out and says, you know, I can't believe you're saying this, that we're tanking. Those players on the field are playing hard. And I went, Derek, you put those players on the field, and they're not very good. That's why it's called tanking. It's managerial tanking.
Yeah, you get to control it if you're the front office by saying, hey, Jalen Ramsey, you're gone. A.J. Bouye, you're gone, and we're getting Calais, all those guys that are gone. You think now you're right. You think Gardner Minshew wants to say, hey, man, I'm going to hold this for you until you get here, Trevor Lawrence, so I can give you my job and move on. No, it's a front office tank, and there's no question they're doing it. And who doesn't want the opportunity? Think about the Chicago Bears if they play poorly, Dan, and all of a sudden they're sitting there, and you got a chance to get Trevor Lawrence with that defense, how quickly that could turn around. Yeah, the Jacksonville Jaguars will be in that hunt. And Fields ain't bad either, so you're going to get a good second quarterback too.
Hope you have a good weekend. Thank you, bud.
Thank you, and I appreciate you as always. Thanks to the guys, too.
At Sean Salisbury, morning host of the Sean Salisbury Show, Sports Talk 790 in Houston, former CFL legend joining us on the program. Hey, how about this? Least watchable game this weekend. We'll recap that. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Oh, my God.
The play, the play of the day.
Left side, got it!
Check this out.
They zone block it to the right. Cut back left. Run. It goes to Edwards-Helaire. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown! Kansas City! CEH with TD 1. What a night for the rookie-clad Edwards-Helaire.
Oh, a CEH, but the H is silent. That's courtesy of 106.5 The Wolf. We're going with CeeLo since we've taken away the H from Helaire. And it would be C-E-E, and he's low to the ground, CeeLo. Hey, look, if you can have two LTs in the NFL, then you can have two CeeLos in the entertainment world. I know.
And I checked, CeeLo Green never played running back in the
NFL.
He
did not?
No.
Okay.
You were asking.
Play of the day brought to you by LegalZoom. Visit LegalZoom.com today. Take care of the things you need to get done without having to leave your home. That's LegalZoom.com. Oh, you know, we always spin negative here. The least watchable game coming up this weekend. And then we'll look at the most watchable game this weekend. Jets-Bills, Colts-Jaguars, Raiders-Panthers, Titans-Broncos, or other. Any other matchup that might not be that great. McLovin?
Those are pretty bad. I mean, you've got the whole AFC South in that list. Actually, the Colts-Jaguars is at 9:30 on Amazon 2 out of London. It's actually not even London. It's Manchester. No, I'm just kidding. You know how they put that one game in?
Yes,
it's always the Colts and Jaguars?
Yeah.
The AFC South is just, is it that unwatchable?
Well, the Colts are going to be good this year. The Texans will be competitive. The Jags will not be good, and the Panthers won't be good. Wait, who am I missing there? Colts, Jags.
Texans.
Titans. And Titans are going
to
be good.
The Colts, a few people picked them to go to the Super Bowl. That good? Were they in your mental mix for the Super Bowl pick?
They were last year, but not this year. Like, I thought that they had, you know, there was something about them that I really liked. I think they understood who they were. And then you bring in Phillip Rivers. How much of an upgrade is Phillip Rivers? Like, I want to see Phillip in a big moment be able to win a game in the postseason. And so whatever happens during the regular season doesn't interest me as much unless we go, boy, Phillip Rivers looks different or Phillip Rivers looks old or he doesn't have the arm strength. Like, I just look at Phillip and I look at Drew Brees and I'm just, you know, being logical here. I don't know how much they have left as far as arm strength goes. And Brady's got a strong arm. He still has a strong arm. So it's a little bit different with him. You know, Ben coming back from his injury, I don't know how strong his arm is going to be. Yeah, McLovin.
I think you could argue Titans-Broncos doesn't belong in the list because the Titans were so good last year. The Broncos is kind of a darling. Jerry Jeudy's getting crazy buzz in Denver. But you're right. Something about it feels a little unwatchable, right?
Well, no Von Miller, but still Derrick Henry... Drew Locke, Jerry Jeudy. And I'm interested to see if Denver has something there. And going against the Titans, Jadeveon Clowney. I'm interested in the Titans to see if they can do that again. Yeah, see.
But the Bills are like one of the most hyped teams this offseason.
But
it's
are
like,
they
what?
Watchable?
I don't know.
See, that's the difference. You know, like, hey, Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs. Okay. Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, and the Buffalo Bills take on Sam Darnold and a bunch of guys we have no idea who they are. Next on Fox. Yes, McLean.
Yeah, you can't really watch Tre'Davious White shut someone down.
Nah.
A 16-7 win over the Jets.
Yeah.
Oh, how about Philly, Washington? That's always boring.
Well, I'm curious about Carson Wentz. I'm really curious about Dwayne Haskins and Chase Young. Yeah, see.
One of the things I love so much about our show is that we can be so excited for football to be back that we spend a segment breaking down the least watchable game.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, I love that about us. Sure. We're like, man, thank God football is back. How amazing is this? You know what game I really don't want to watch?
It's been a long time since we've been able to do that, though. We got it all backed up.
Yeah.
So bizarre.
Yeah, McClubbin.
Want to do best games, sort of clear our palate?
Yeah. Okay. So Tampa Bay and New Orleans.
Yeah. I'll start earliest and latest. Dolphins, Patriots, Cam's debut. Packers, Vikings?
Yeah.
I'm
just curious what the Packers game plan is. Like, how is Matt LaFleur going to use Aaron Rodgers? Right, how much are they run? Do they run the ball more than they pass the ball against Minnesota? That's what I would be curious about.
Okay, Browns, Ravens.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
That's a great one.
Then Bucks, Saints, and Cowboys, Rams, the Sunday night game at debuting so far.
My Cowboys.
Right.
My Cowboys. Yeah.
Nobody's Rams. What? Did I just say that?
Yeah, I'm curious about that one. Because if Dallas loses, you know, the sky falls. When Dallas loses, like, oh my God, you know, they should not extend Dak Prescott. They made a great choice. Why did they take CeeDee Lamb? Ezekiel Elliott's just not the running back that we thought. Like, it's always going to be headline worthy, whatever the Cowboys do. So you have to have that mindset as a Cowboy fan. You know, if you lose, oh my God. Yeah, McClubbin.
Yeah, is it possible they lose and still go like 11-5? Yes. Like they drop this game? Doesn't it feel like that could happen just because of the way the season is?
Absolutely. There's no guarantee. Well, Mahomes, pretty much a guarantee.
I do remember you picked the Chargers and the Saints, and they both lost in week one. And then they went like, they both went like 13-3. It wasn't.
Well, I think the Saints lost to Ryan Fitzpatrick and the Buccaneers, didn't it? Didn't that happen? And
Fitzpatrick threw for 500 yards.
I know. And I go, oh my God, I'm in trouble here. Yeah, Paul.
I was looking through a bunch of NFL, I guess, quote, experts' preseason predictions. Almost nobody had the 49ers returning to the Super Bowl. It is not a popular pick. And they were two first downs away from winning the Super Bowl.
I know.
But no, everyone's off it. It's like the Rams last year. Everyone got off the Rams.
I'm just not sold on their quarterbacks. I don't think the Niners are sold on their quarterback. And they can't say they are if they kick the tires on Tom Brady in the offseason. Can't. Because Garoppolo at his age, and really his salary, if Garoppolo is really good, then he's going to be a bargain for the 49ers. You just saw that there were big moments, and I don't know if that coaching staff really believed in him. You know, maybe that changes. Wonderful offensive-minded head coach. But, you know, Jared Goff, Jimmy Garoppolo, I want to see that you're able to do this again and do it, you know, at a higher level. Yeah, McClubbin.
Do we put Cardinals, Niners in the – that's in the must-watch category. That'll be fun, right?
Yeah, I'm curious about that. Division matchup, see where Kyler Murray is. George Kittle's always fun to watch. So, yeah.
Hopkins?
Oh, yeah. DeAndre Hopkins. Yeah, of course. All right, where's our music here? Aren't we supposed to have music? So we go to the end of the first hour. There it is. There it is. Chris Fowler will join us coming up next hour. And Vin Scully in the final hour. Dan Patrick Show.